Welcome back to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here. Maternal depression is a significant risk factor affecting the well-being of infants and young children, and for many women, this can begin right after the birth of their child. Well, joining us as part of our regular series, Public Health Today, is Dr. Donna Bakke, Associate Professor and Chair of Public Health and Preventive Medicine, and Anne Sweet, Psychiatric and Family Nurse Practitioner at Upstate Medical University. Welcome and thank you both for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
Glad to be here.
So we know that maternal depression really can have a significant impact on mothers, of course, but also on their babies. Tell us about that, Anne.
Well, babies that are born to moms that are depressed have problems with attachment issues as they're growing up. Sometimes moms cannot really take care of their babies after birth. They tend to leave them, you know, in the crib or in their car seat, feeding them that way rather than holding them, attaching to them, breastfeeding them. Due to their own depression, they just do not have the capacity to be able to really focus on and play with them in a normal way. And then that develops into some attachment issues with the child as they're growing up.
That's interesting. I'd like to define a little bit about, well, why don't you help us understand when you say attachment issues, what are you thinking when you say that?
It's the ability to bond. It's more than just, you know, having a connection. It's a bonding that occurs between the mom and the child.
And that promotes what
that
in their further development?
The ability to then attach to others, to have this constant object of their mom initially, but then to be able to move in the direction of attaching to others and being able to interact in an appropriate way with other people.
So it's the core of relationship.
Absolutely.
And
yes.
Go ahead, Dr. Bakke.
It really is. It's the ability for that child then to develop meaningful relationships and even loving relationships with people as they get older. You know, if they don't get that type of meaningful relationship from their mother initially and make that attachment, it's very hard for them to then be able to do that with other people.
I think that's crucial. And it's interesting because clearly you've also alluded to other issues beyond. I mean, you're just talking about some basic survival issues mm-hmm. too. Feeding, changing. I mean, apart from the psychodynamic issues, mm-hmm. just survival issues can be impacted and thereby maybe stimulation for development.
Absolutely.
Is that true as well?
Yes. And we have to understand that, you know, there's about 12 to 18% of women who will develop some depressive episodes after birth. So it's not an insignificant problem. And I think a lot of times people either are afraid to go to the doctor, afraid to let people know that they're having these feelings, and so that they don't get help. And then that's what causes the problem.
There is still a stigma, wouldn't you agree, that has to be attached to depression these
days? I think
that
motherhood is seen as a very joyful experience. And so there's a bit of shame sometimes associated with not feeling those feelings, that they're supposed to, you know, be elated with this new child. And especially if they've had a depressive episode or some mental health issue in the past that has gone untreated or they've stopped medication during their pregnancy, there's a significant risk of an increased depressive episode after the birth of their child.
Well, that was what I was going to ask you about, because obviously you have the potential for there to be pre-existing conditions that play a role.
Absolutely.
But is there something that we know about pregnancy that also, I mean, if so many women do experience postpartum depression, as they say, or perinatal depression, is there something hormonal, something organic that's going on?
Well, clearly your hormones get out of whack, if to use it a term.
Common expression.
A common expression. I mean, they are different than when you're normally cycling. And you know, there is a letdown, you know, after birth. So it's very common for women, even the first couple of weeks, to have some sad feelings because their hormones are trying to even out. But sometimes in some people, those hormones don't get back to normal quickly enough. And that's a contributing factor. I think, you know, the other risk factors are younger women, so teenagers, and I think that's also part of the fact that their hormonal levels are still developing. They're at higher risk. Women who have either prior history of depression or symptoms of depression that went untreated, Women who are substance abusing are also at higher risk for these issues.
And it strikes me, too, although I haven't read the literature, that all of the kind of life issues surrounding the birth of a baby, whether there's a good, stable home, economic and secure, you know, economic situation, whether somebody's, working, for example, whether there supports people in the environment as well, maybe a community or a sense of family, must also play a role, even a part.
It does play a role, and I think that I work in particular with young girls in the inner city area that are a high-risk population. So there is that component of the past history, the psychosocial stressors, the not having the attachment in their early development that then, just this cycle continues. But there is also a certain segment of women that there are really no risk factors. It just happens, and they don't really know why. They haven't had a prior depressive episode. They have a supportive family. They have a good, work. They've been working. They are educated. So it can really hit anyone, but
I think
certainly the
crucial
risk factors are higher for the
I think that's a crucial point to be made, though, because I think, as we've said before, if there's stigma attached or shame, as you mentioned, if you think it shouldn't happen to me, I've got everything in my mm-hmm. life going for me, and yet I don't feel happy to have this new young baby, there's something wrong with me, and therefore I'm not going to seek help, and et cetera, and then it becomes really a snowball, I would think.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think, I think when Brooke Shields came out with her book about her postpartum depression after her second child, it really was an opportunity. I think she wrote it really to let people know that, this can happen to anybody, that you do need to recognize the symptoms and you do need to seek help. And, it was a very interesting book because she, for a while, she didn't know what was going on. And, one of the things, kind of the symptoms that we talk about that women need to look for is, it's not only the feeling of sadness and not wanting to do anything, but if you have any negative feelings toward your child, mm-hmm. like you feel like you want to harm your child or that's a trigger that, there's something wrong here. I shouldn't be feeling this way. Mm-hmm. And it really is an opportunity for you to seek help and to talk to either a significant other or someone that about these feelings.
I think that's so important, though, that you're saying that people, if they do feel those things, rather than feeling ashamed or frightened by those feelings, to recognize that it can happen, that it is, for want of a better term, a medical occurrence, and that, psychological, medical, and that for the betterment of yourself as well as for your child and perhaps other family members, seeking help is crucial.
Absolutely. We call those thoughts scary thoughts. Mm-hmm. So, there are women that definitely have those kinds of thoughts. And what happens is they tend to then really move away from their child, let other people take care of the baby. But a lot of times don't give any explanation for why they don't want to be near the baby, because there is such a shame involved with it. And getting help, it is a combination of medical and psychiatric type of illness, and it is treatable, and that's what people need to know, is that definitely it can be treated and there can be a really good outcome, not only for themselves personally, but for that bonding with their infant.
Yeah, and as I said, in addition to the bonding issue, which obviously has such a strong impact, as you said, because it can go on for generations. If they didn't bond, then the next generation doesn't bond, and on and on. So clearly that's a very crucial thing. But also just things like taking care of the well-being of the child, mm-hmm. safety-proofing, looking out for right. them as they grow and develop. Because I think, according to something you've told me, that this whole notion of postpartum or perinatal depression can last, by definition, for at least the first year and sometimes even longer if untreated.
Technically, it's the postpartum depression diagnosis window. Is from birth of the child through the first year, but many times it has started within the pregnancy. So it's antenatal and then perinatal postpartum. So
we've been talking about treatment. So what's available? I know you are very involved, Anne, in a program here. Tell us about it.
Well, Upstate has a grant program through the Nurse Family Partnership and Healthy Families, providing care to high-risk inner-city women. And we've been doing the program for several years now. And it can be any time during that prenatal or postpartum period of time. Most of the girls have had some prior psychiatric issue.
So what is it that happens? Do you have a clinic? People come in? Do they speak to an individual practitioner? Okay.
They see me.
And you basically counsel them? Do you offer them medical treatment?
It's a very individualized type of program. What happens is there is a social worker from Healthy Families that does make a home visit, sees the patient, the girl, and does an Edinburgh depression rating scale, which has been validated in prenatal and postpartum depression.
Where they sit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If they're over 10 or above, they require an evaluation to be done. It is somewhat voluntary on their part. The higher the score, of course, the more we want to get them in there. And if there's any type of suicidal thoughts or parasuicidal thoughts, we deal with that.
So you prioritize based on what you see the need is. But this is largely focused, as you said, on lower socioeconomic population. Is that the case?
That's the grant program. And I've also seen other patients throughout the area that have been referred from their obstetrician. So I also, as a psychiatric nurse practitioner, I also see private patients.
Well, that's very important to understand. So the grant program works with a certain population, but you're available, or the program is program is mm-hmm. available to see someone in the general population who could be referred.
And we try to coordinate care with both the obstetrician, if they're postpartum and they're breastfeeding. Obviously, we have to involve the pediatrician. I want continuity of care all the way along. So there are some women that, through their pregnancy, do not want to be on medications. And so we work with therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, interpersonal therapy, of course, attachment issues, and trying to role model and help with role transition, especially if they're a first-time mom.
Go ahead.
What I was going to say is that there is now a recommendation that all women postpartum be screened with the Edinburgh, at their 6-week postpartum visit, mm-hmm. To try and identify issues early in a mother, where they don't have to self-identify, but you can actually do that. And I think a lot of obstetricians are now starting to do that.
I believe they are, and at different points within the pregnancy, mm-hmm. they can administer this and also postpartum.
What are some techniques? We only have a little bit of time left, but besides things like medication, what are some of the techniques that you might employ to help someone?
Well, using a cognitive behavioral therapy model, it's identifying automatic negative thoughts, some core values and things that they may have been brought up with that have kind of skewed their thinking about motherhood. And so I work on identifying those thoughts and developing a way to...
Strategies.
Strategies to deal with them and look at them in a different way.
And have you basically seen success?
Absolutely. I have seen success. Many mothers have... The Edinburgh actually has been a very good tool to show that the decrease in maternal depression going from like an 18 to 13 within a few months.
Wow. So. Well, that's very, very impressive and obviously a very, very important thing to be tending to the lives of the mothers and the babies going forward. So I want to thank you both for coming in. It's a critical public health issue. Thanks for coming in and sharing it with us. My guests have been Dr. Donna Bakke, Associate Professor and Chair of Public Health and Preventive Medicine, and Ann Sweet, Psychiatric and Family Nurse Practitioner at Upstate Medical University. Stay right there. We'll be right back with more Health Link on Air.